All right, well, tonight we are going to start in John chapter 17, verse 17. John 17, verse 17, and tonight I'm going to be sharing on the three R's: receive, retain, and release. And in John 17, verse 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what?
Truth.
Thy word is truth. And this is Jesus Christ. He was praying for his apostles and disciples and the believers. And part of his prayer was that he would have God to separate them because of truth. But he follows it up by saying that thy word is truth. And so what really sets us apart is a knowledge of God's word, right? Because God's word is truth. It's the foundation of our believing. Right? It's the foundation of our believing that God's word is truth. And people desperately want truth, right? The devil wants the opposite. He wants confusion. He wants lies. He wants for everybody to question everything, right? And that's the direction that, you know, this world continues to head, right? And all these new technologies that you have no idea if the picture that you're looking at is actually real or if it was Photoshopped. You know, they can do all kinds of crazy stuff with video right now and with even voice to make it look and sound like somebody said or did something that they didn't actually do. And so it gets to the point where it's hard to believe anything that is out there. And that's what the adversary really wants. He wants us to be in a position, he wants the world to be in a position where people just kind of give up on believing anything, that they don't trust anything at all. But people desperately want the truth, right? And God is spirit, and the spiritual realm is greater than the physical realm. And that's why truth, the truth of God's word, is going to always be greater than facts, right? Facts are part of the physical realm, right? There are 24 hours in a day. Well, that's a fact. That's a fact that we all rely on, right? But God's word is bigger than that physical realm, right? So when God turned the sun back, right, the sundial goes back, that's because the spiritual realm is bigger than even the physical realm and the facts that are in there. And so when we think about God's word, we need to think about it and esteem it the way that God does, which is it is absolute truth. We might have facts that we think are true, that we know to be mostly true, but if God's word says something differently, then that's the truest truth, right? The word has to be the most true thing in our lives. Go to Psalm 138, verse 2, which is really cool to think about. Because there are a lot of facts. We rely on facts, right? I rely on the fact that gravity is a thing, so I don't go floating away. But if I ever stumble off of a cliff, then I can believe that God will what? Take care of me, because that's what God says, right? His word says he'll protect me. And maybe I just suddenly float over to the other side where I'm okay, right? That's greater than the fact of gravity should make me go kerplunk, right? So we have to believe that God's word is true above all else, even if it stands in the face of what we call facts. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou, God, has magnified thy word above all thy name. Above all thy name. And so that's God's opinion of his word, right? God's opinion of his word is unmatched. He promotes his word above even his name, right? So what should our opinion of it be then, right? What should our opinion of it be? If God thinks his word is bigger than he himself, right? If he esteems it bigger than his own name, what should our opinion of it be? Go to Jeremiah 15, verse 16. And we'll look at a couple people in the Bible who held an opinion of God's word. Because these are practical things to our first R, which is receiving the word. Right? So we've established the foundation that the word is true and that God esteems it above his very name. So we need to look at, well, how do we receive it? What do we do to receive it? What should our attitude be about receiving it? In Jeremiah 15, 16, it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." I did eat them. I gobbled them up. I couldn't get enough of them. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." All right? And so let's gobble up God's word. Right? Just like Jeremiah, "Thy words were found and I did eat them. I couldn't get enough of them." Right? They were the joy and rejoicing of his heart. It should thrill us to know the truth. We have something that most other people don't have, and that is the truth, the rightly divided God's word. Right? We should have, you know, our opinion should be so high of it, that it's the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. That there's lots of stuff to know about and to do in this world, but how much of it is truth, right? We have that truth. So we can be like Jeremiah and just eat it up. Go to Job chapter 23. The book of Job 23. And in verse 12. Job 23, verse 12, it says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed or valued the words of his mouth more than my necessary" what? Food. So God likes food analogies when it comes to his word, right? He gobbled them up. Job valued God's word more than even food, right? Something that we consume multiple times a day. Something that our body lets us know pretty dang quick if we don't have it or we need more of it, right? Job valued God's word more than that, more than even his necessary food. He had to have a steady diet of it, right? And that should be our attitude toward receiving God's word, right? Do we have a steady diet of the word, of the truth? Because that's what ultimately builds our believing, right? The things that we think about or put in our minds most often are the things that we end up concentrating on, thinking on, and that kind of stuff, right? And so that should be the word. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. So the first key in our three R's, to receive, to retain, and to release, is to receive it. Right? We can't retain anything if we don't receive it. We can't release it if we haven't retained it. In Proverbs 2, verse 1, it says, verses 1 through 5 is what we'll look at. And as we go through these verses, you'll see these verbs, these actions tied to receiving. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words," so that's one, "and hide my commandments with thee," so that's two. We hide his word. "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom," right? So we incline our ear, "and apply thine heart to understanding." So we apply our heart. "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding," right? So we call out. We lift up our voice. We make a request. "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures," right? So seek and to search as if it is a treasure, "then After you've done all these things, then shalt thou understand the fear or respect or reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, right? God wants us to know and to understand him, but it means an effort. It's an effort, right? Receive and hide and incline and apply and seek and search. All these things require some effort, but God wants us to understand him, right? We know in Romans 10, it says, faith cometh by hearing, right? And whether that's we're listening to teachings here at Fellowship, we listen to recordings of them in our day-to-day lives, we read collaterals, or we open up the Bible itself, right? That's all ways for us to receive God's word. And we want to make sure we have a steady diet of it, right? It's so important for us to make time for truth in our lives. Go to James chapter 1. Because the world is going to try to steal it. The adversary is going to try to get you to doubt it, to question it, to forget it. And the only way to combat that is a constant receiving of it. A regular diet of the word. And James chapter 1, verse 21. This is a great segue into our second R, which is to retain. Verse 21, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And superfluity is an unnecessarily or excessively large amount of something. So we're to lay apart all filthiness and all unnecessary or excessively large amounts of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Right? So we're to receive God's word with meekness. With meekness. Right? So God's word says that the way that we're to receive it is with meekness, with a humbleness, right? That it is the truth, that we don't think we know any better, but that we're coming to it really to learn. What do you want to show me, God? What do I need to know here? And it's the engrafted word, the implanted word. We should receive it to the point that it is implanted, right? That it is there in our hearts. And that's what's able to save our souls, right? And that's not talking about, just our redemption or being born again, but it's a restoration to our souls. It what really cleans us out and helps us to feel better, right? Helps us to live a life that's more than abundant. And then it says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So God's word says that we're supposed to receive it, and then it says, but don't just be hearers of it. Don't just stop at the receiving of it, but be doers of the word. Doers of the word. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, if you just hear it, don't do anything with it, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, right? And that was like a mirror in those times. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway, right away, forgets what manner of man he was, right? We have a lot more mirrors than they had back then, and we have cameras and other things where we can see ourselves. But the analogy here is like, back then, you knew what everybody else looked like. You didn't really know what you looked like. Right? That was hard to figure out sometimes, legitimately. And so it's saying, like, it's like a man who catches a glimpse of himself in a mirror, and then, you know, a day later he's like, I don't even know what I look like, right? Forget what I look like, right? So if we're not a doer of the word, it just kind of gets forgotten. Verse 25, but whoso looks unto the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, right? He looks into it, he receives it, and he continues there, and he keeps at it. He applies it. He does it. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Right? So we're to see, receive the word with meekness. We're to be a doer of the word. And the reason that's important is because doing the word is pivotal to retaining it. Right? If we're not a doer of the word, it says we're going to forget it. Right? We're going to be just like that guy who kind of catches a glimpse of himself and then it's gone. Right? So, you know, we know the phrase, use it or lose it. Right? Well, that applies to the word of God. It's true with every other skill or activity that we have in life. Right? If you don't practice something all the time, you start to lose it. You start to get worse at it. Right? And so it is with God's word. We want to put it into practice. That's the retaining part of receive, retain, release. To apply it and to do it. Right? If you live it, then it will always be there. You'll always have it at the ready. Right? You'll always have the promises of God right there when you live it. Right? So your believing grows by leaps and bounds as you apply that word. You receive it. You believe that it's truth, but believing involves action, right? It involves walking out on it, right? And so retention is all about doing that word. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. So when God's word says that we are to continue instant in prayer, or pray without ceasing, or I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, what are we going to do with that information? Are we going to think, wow, that's really cool. Paul was a nice guy. He sounds swell. Or are we going to say, you know what? I'm going to make time out to pray every day. And I'm going to make sure that I speak in tongues a lot too. That's something that God wants me to do. Right? And if we do it all the time, then it's implanted, right? It's part of us. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Right? So it's a two-part thing. He hears the word, but then he does it. He carries it out. That's the wise man that builds his house upon a rock. There's a foundation there. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it what?
Fell
not. It stood strong. It stood strong. All the crap came. Doesn't say the crap doesn't come. But it stood strong. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, doesn't carry them out, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Right? So the hearing and the doing is what builds that foundation. That strong foundation. It's what equips you to weather the tough stuff, right? And that's what's involved in our retaining of the word, right? We've got to believe that it's true, and then we've got to believe it to the extent that we walk out on it and carry it out. Go to John 13:13. That's what makes for a wise man. That's what helps us in this life when the stormy stuff hits. It's God's word. It's greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right? Those are cool words. But when we apply it, when we make it a reality in our lives, that's where the power is. John 13:13. Jesus Christ washes his disciples' feet here, and then he says, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And you're right, I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, right? If you know these things, then you're happy, right? Then you're happy. If you know these things, then you're happy. That's not what Jesus Christ said. He said, if you know these things, happy are you if you what?
Do them.
Do them. Do them. Right? It's one thing to know it. It's another to do it. And he gave them an example to follow. Right? And so it was up to them to carry it out. He gave them an example. He gave them some instruction. They can receive that and do whatever they want with it. But it says that you're going to be happy and blessed when you do them, when you do them, right? So we can really push ourselves to do bigger, to do bigger. Go to Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Right? So retaining God's word, making it something that's living and real in our lives, requires us to take action, to walk out on and do it. That's the key to retention. And in Titus 1:9, we have another great transition to our third R, releasing. It says, holding fast, and that phrase holding fast is to retain firmly. Holding fast or retain firmly the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Right? So we hold fast to that word. We retain it firmly. To what end? Right? To what end? To the end that we speak it. To the end that we release it. Right? That we're able to exhort and convince people of the truth of God's word. Right? So we're going to be able to release it once we've really retained it. Once it's living and real in us, it's just going to come out. And we're going to see that in Luke 6. Go to Luke 6. Verse 44. Luke 6:44. It says, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Right? So every tree is known by his fruit. Right? A tree's action is producing fruit. A tree's action is producing fruit. That's what a tree does, right? It's what it does. And so what we do will dictate what we speak. What we do will dictate what we speak. Verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Right? Whatever's abundant in someone's heart, whatever they've retained and really held on to, right? Whatever's implanted in there is what's going to come out. That's what he's going to speak. And so the doing leads to the retaining, which leads to it being abundant in your heart, which leads to the speaking or the releasing of it, right? Of you putting it out there. It's what you're going to talk about, right? When you see God do all kinds of cool, crazy stuff in your life and really bless you, really bring you peace, right? That's the kind of stuff you're going to want to tell other people about. And other people are hungry for the truth. They want to know, how do I get peaceful? How do I get settled? How do I find love? You know, does God really care about me? These are things that people want to know and will have it at the ready to speak. And Philippians 2, verse 13. Right, we'll find those opportunities to just share the word with people. Ask them what they need to be prayed for. I went to Light Bearers and it was an amazing time. We got really, really blessed. I hadn't been cold witnessing in probably decades, right? And it's not my favorite thing to do in the world. But to go out there and push myself and do it again, right, was really just cool to see God work in situations, right? Just ask somebody, hey, you know, what do you need prayed for? Or just to be able to even talk to a complete stranger for 10 minutes about what's going on in their life. Right? You don't have to go and run up to them and, you know, say, hey, do you believe God? But just say, hey. You know, I sat down next to a guy in a massage chair in the mall. He was trapped. He was in the massage chair. And I just say, hey, how you doing? He was a mall walker. Older guy. Sneakers, sweats. There's mall walkers. They love it. So I asked him how it was going. Asked him if he walks this mall a lot. I learned all about the malls he likes to walk. He's like a mall walking connoisseur. He walks like 7 different malls in the area. And I just asked him how his, you know, I said, you know, actually, you know, do you do it because you got like leg pain or anything like that? And he said, no, my knees are good, but my back is always bothering me. And I just asked him if I could pray for him, right? And he said, no, I'm good. But I asked him. Right? I asked him. And we just talked about God for a little bit. He said he was a Christian. He says he prays all the time. He didn't want me to pray for him. But I got to talk the word with him for a little bit. You know what I mean? And God will just open up doors like that for you to, you know, bring it up. Most of the time you ask people how they're doing or if they need something, they're ready to tell you. Right? And then you can tell them how much you'd love to pray for them. And then they might say, what do you think that does anything? And then you can tell them, yeah, I do. Right? It's just got to be at the ready. And Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is at work in you to want to and to carry it out. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Right? So when God works in you, just do it. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Right? And so the context around that cool verse in verse 13, that God is at work in you, and that we're not supposed to argue with God, he follows that up by saying that we're the ones who shine as lights. We're the one who's going to hold forth that word of life. We're the ones who are going to speak it, right? God doesn't have anybody to speak it except for us. He needs us to be the ones to share it, right? So God works in you to do that, right? We can speak the word with boldness. People should know what you're about. The people that you work with, that you are regularly interacting with on a daily basis, should know what you're about, because it should just be part of who you are, right? If you're receiving that word on a regular basis, you're retaining it and walking out on it, then it should be evident to them what you're about. And then if they want to know, right, it'll just be there. They'll ask about it. They'll get curious. When you say you're going to pray for somebody, they'll either just be like, okay, cool. And you just keep telling them, I'll pray for you. Okay. Or they'll really take an interest, and then that's an open door to speak the word to somebody, right? As you release it, God's going to give you more. And we're going to close in Ezra chapter 7. Ezra 7, verse 9. Right? So it gets easier to release it the more that it's just right there, and it's part of who you are. It's that implanted word because you've been walking out on it. You've been retaining it and doing it. Ezra 7, verse 9. It's really cool two verses here that kind of sum this up really nice. the three R's. Ezra 7:9 says, "For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him." Right? Did God work in him? That's right. God worked in him, and he did it. He went where he was supposed to go. And then it says in verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart." Ezra had prepared his heart to do three things. To seek the law of the Lord. That's our receiving it, right? Seek it out. Figure out what God's word says. And to do it. That's the retaining of it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. That's the releasing of it. Ezra had prepared his heart to do those three things. Right? And he went and did what God wanted him to do. Right? He received God's word, he retained it by doing it, and then he taught it and released it. Right? And those three principles is what keeps us chugging to do the same. Right? Steady diet of the word, applying it and doing it so that you're retaining it, and then it's just going to be overflowing and coming out of you so that you're releasing and letting other people know how cool God is.